got victory tonight. Amen. Do you enjoy the service this morning?
Amen.
Praise the Lord for His presence here today. Great testimony meeting and a great message. Pray for Brother Don, Miss Carla. I believe they're in Hiram somewhere tonight, if I'm not mistaken. And then he'll be hopefully back here with us on Wednesday, and then they'll be leaving out on Thursday. So just be much in prayer for them. But it was just a great service and a great moving of the Spirit this morning. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask Him to be here with us tonight. Brother Larry, would you lead us as we pray? Amen. Since we're talking about victory, let's turn over to page number 120. Let's everyone stand and everyone sing about the victory we have in Jesus. Good to see you back in the house of the Lord this evening. We're very excited to be here. Please continue to remember all those that we mentioned this morning for prayer requests. Continue to pray for Ms. BJ as she recovers from her knee surgery. And there are just so many more. Please just continue to lift each one of those up. And I meant to do something this morning, and it slipped my mind. Yeah, I'm getting a little older, and it's hard to believe it. I know, but I am. Miss Tammy, would you do me a favor and introduce our newest member? I believe he's in your house, to Calvary, to the children's home. Young man, it is great to have you here. You look very sharp sitting back there. I noticed him this morning, and so we're very glad to have that. I'm also glad to have some new choir members. And we'll see that we some brand new, some back. CeCe's been going through some sickness. She's back in the choir this evening, and I'm very thankful for that. God's got something in store for us here at Calvary. Amen. And we're very excited about it. You just make that a matter of prayer. The choir's going to start working on some new music, and we're looking forward to that. It's going to be some great things God's got in store, I believe, with all of my heart. And we've got some new young deacons that are on board, and they had their first deacons meeting this morning. You just love that. And but we are just thankful for what the Lord's doing here, and we just want to continue just to lift one another up in prayer. And again, let's pray for the service tonight, and we're very excited to be in the house of the Lord. Father, we love you, praise you. And Lord, how we thank you, Lord, for the service we had this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the moving of your Holy Spirit, for the hearts that were touched. Lord, our prayer is that the lives were changed. Lord, I thank you for the testimony service, those standing to say and speak of the goodness of God. Lord, thank you for the special song that we had this morning that touched our hearts. And Lord, I pray that you would just continue to be with Brother Don. Thank you for the message this morning, the messenger. Lord, be with him this evening. But Lord, be with Pastor, Lord, here at Calvary tonight. I pray that you touch him. Speak through him that we need to hear. May our hearts and minds be open to receive your word. And again, Lord, be with those that are going through difficult times physically, emotionally, Lord, whatever they might be going through. Some have lost loved ones to death this week. And God, we pray that you would visit them in a powerful way. Lord, give them that peace that passes all understanding. Love them on them, Lord, and hold them real close to you would be our prayer. Again, Lord, touch someone here tonight. Save a soul. Lord, I pray that someone be born into the kingdom. Be with those that will be going in back into school next week. And Lord, we pray that you touch them. Now bless the offering, both the gift and the giver. Be in our service, and we'll praise you. We'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. sorrows and fears pass away. Heartaches soon vanish and burdens can't stay. For the heart that's been broken and wounded by sin, there is healing when you call on His name.
At the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, sin chains are broken, the captive set free. At the name of Jesus, the
now He shall return some glad day. A blessed appearing for those who obey. Every tongue shall confess Him to be the Lord of lords. They shall bow to the power of
it's good to see everyone tonight. And I hope everybody has enjoyed the Lord's Day today. Again, it's been a great day so far. And appreciate Brother Don preaching this morning. We actually had arranged that about 6 months ago. And we are very, very thankful that he was able to preach for us before leaving town, going back to Peru. And Brother Don is at Welcome Hill tonight. That's where Pastor Johnny Ivey used to pastor. And Brother Nathan Knight is now the pastor. And so we love Welcome Hill. But But if you have your Bibles tonight, and I hope you do, Colossians chapter number 3 for a few moments. Colossians 3, verse 3. Colossians 3 and verse number 3. And we actually will read that verse in just a few moments. There's a lot of things in life that we need to know and live in life. We experience a lot of things. And the whole plan and idea is to learn and to grow and try not to make the same mistake twice in certain areas, to just continue to grow. We will continue to make mistakes, though, in life and continue to learn how to do things in a better way. But things to know. Tonight I want to preach for a few moments on this subject, three things to know. Just a simple sermon tonight, and I hope you'll benefit from it. Three things to know. Again, in life we will encounter a lot of things and hopefully learn a lot of things and know a lot of things. But tonight, just three simple things I feel are important to know. Number one, we need to know who we are. Who we are. What do you mean, who we are? In the movie Courageous, I'm sure everyone in here has seen that movie, and nearly thereabout. In the movie Courageous, we have the running coach, and he was feeling down. He was feeling sorry for himself in the beginning of the movie. And his team that he was coaching, I believe it started out as being a football team, dwindled down to hardly anybody. And they didn't have a team anymore, so he felt bad about that. Had trouble in his marriage. And so he had to, or he was at the hospital one day, and he was making a visit to someone. Make a long story short, he actually entered into a room by mistake. But it was no mistake by God. He started talking with a man who was laying in the bed, and that man was actually blind and he was dying. And that man asked this man, this running coach, who was now the running coach. He asked him, "Who are you?" And the man replied, "I'm a husband." Then he said again, he asked, "No, who are you?" He said, "Well, I'm a dad." And he kept asking, he said, "I'm a coach." And he named all of these things. At the very end, he said, "Come on now, who are you really?" He said, "I'm a Christian." And the man smiled and nodded his head. He says, "Well, that's your problem right there. You listed all of these things that you are. And on the very last of the list, you said you were a child of God." And my point number one this evening is simply that if you're saved by the grace of God, it is very, very important to know who you are in Him. Because we experience times in life that are difficult. There's times in life, even when you're a teenager and you start to grow into an adult or early adulthood, you experience setback and you experience delay. And we're living in a world where everyone isn't kind and generous and gentle. And so there's times where we may feel like in life that, you know, we're no one or we're forsaken or life isn't fair. But if you know who you are in the Lord, then you can be at total peace. That no matter what happens in life, no matter who says you're nothing, we know that we are everything in Jesus. So we see that we can actually benefit from that movie Courageous by just knowing who we are. Who we are. Now, there's a few different views that people see life through, or view themselves through, I should say. Number one, ourself. And there's times where we view ourselves as not enough or never enough. And then others view us. Sometimes when others view us, they may have the the words that say, I've never seen any better, or they're good, or they're not good. But then we have God's view of us. And God says that we're enough. We're enough because He's our Lord and He's our sufficiency. And because of that, we don't have to view ourselves as not being enough, because He is our enough. In life, we view ourselves one way, and then others have their view of us. But then there's God's view of us. And I'm glad tonight that as we read in Colossians chapter number 3, verse 3, that our life is hid, the Bible says, with Christ in God. Notice, if you would, in verse number 3. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And so who are we tonight? We are in Jesus. Those of us who are saved, and our life is hid in Him. We are new creations in the Lord. We have new desires in our heart to serve Him and read His word and pray. We're new. Our old man has been crucified. Our sins are gone. We presently are standing in grace. And so tonight it's very important to know who we are. Galatians, you don't have to turn there, but in Galatians 2, in verse number 20, just a few words Paul said in that verse I want to mention. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Paul says that the old Paul is gone. He died as Jesus died upon the cross when Paul accepted Jesus as his salvation. There was a transaction there. And Paul placed himself on the cross as with Jesus. And he died and he was buried and rose again. And we know the account of Paul. When he was on the Damascus Road and he was going to, with letters of consent, to actually kill Christians, he was totally transformed by his encounter with Christ. And in life, that's what happens when we meet Jesus. When we have a time of meeting the Lord changes our life. And the Bible says, from glory to glory are we changed. Now, in Revelation chapter number 2, turn to Revelation 2 for a moment. Revelation chapter number 2. I want you to notice something in one of these churches in verse number, starting in verse number 8. The church of Smyrna. In Revelation 2, in verse number 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation, and notice this, and poverty. But thou art rich, it says. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but of the synagogue of Satan. Notice where he says, I know thy works in tribulation and poverty. And then in parentheses he says, but. Remember Brother Don spoke about that this morning, that word but. He says, physically you are in poverty, he says, but spiritually thou art rich, he says. He says, I know your works, your tribulation, and your poverty, but thou art rich. He was speaking about identification. And in the world in which we live, there's a lot of different kind of people. There are rich people. There are poor people. There are people who are middle class. And we ought to never identify ourselves as to who we are concerning how much money we have. Because there are some of the richest people in the world are some of the most miserable people in the world. There are some rich people who are Christians. There are some poor people and people in poverty that are miserable. But also, there are some people in poverty, people that are poor, who may not have a lot of wealth and money and resources. But on the inside, they're rich. It's because they know whose they are. and they know who they are. So we could benefit from these verses in Revelation chapter number 2. And tonight, the first thing we ought to know is who we are. And the question I want to ask to you and those watching on Facebook, who are you? Who are you? Are you a child of God? Do you know that you know that you know you belong to Him? If I were to ask you today, do you know that you know that you know when you die, heaven will be your home? You say, Brother Justin, or preacher, I hope heaven will be my home. Well, you see, the Bible doesn't give a hope-so salvation, but it does give a no-so salvation. Meaning, all you have to do is recognize your current condition. All of us, natural born sinners. We came into this world, beneficiaries. Of course, it wasn't no benefit, but we came into this world because of Adam and that original sin in the garden. And so death had passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So we have to recognize that we're a sinner. But then number two, confess to the Lord that we need Him for our salvation. Romans 10 and verse number 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse number 13 says, for whosoever, the rich, the poor, the middle class, and everyone in between, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here tonight and you don't know that when you die, heaven will be your home, you can know tonight. You can call upon Him and say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a natural born sinner. I know that, Lord, that my sin has separated me from a holy God. But tonight, Lord, I call upon You to bridge the gap between me and God. Be my salvation. Be my Savior tonight. And I ask You to come in my heart and be the Lord of my life. I tell you, when you do that, you are a child of God. You have a new father now. And no matter what happens in life, it's very imperative to remind yourself from time to time that this world is not your home, that money is not your sufficiency, but God is. God is. And so number one, the first thing to know is know who you are. But the second thing I believe that's important in life is to know not only who you are, but to know God's plan for your life. Know God's plan for your life. Listen to this. Being a Christian and not knowing God's plan for your life, nor not fulfilling God's plan for your life, is like being on a team and sitting on the bench. Think about it. If you say you belong to Him and you're saved and you don't serve, you don't go to church, you're not involved, it's like being on a team yet not being in the game. And the worst possible place for a child of God to be is on the bench and not in the game. The only place that a player will not be most fulfilled and most happy is on the bench. When you're on the bench and you're not involved, you're not most happy, and your joy is not full because you're not in the game. And so therefore, the only happy place to be for a Christian is involved and in the game. Knowing God's plan, and not just knowing God's plan, but fulfilling His plan. That's what Paul said in Timothy. He got down to the end of his life and he said, I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, he goes on and he talks about this crown that was laid up for him. And so we can not only know God's plan, but we need to strive to fulfill God's plan. Proverbs 29:18 says this, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. When we don't have a clear vision of what God wants for us in our life, there is a perishing effect that takes place. When you don't have, I said it this way, when you don't have aspirations and you don't have good godly dreams within your heart and soul, you're basically just swinging at the wind. You're just living your life as a leaf that's just blowing by. It's time to get a vision of what God wants for us in our own personal lives. It's time to get a vision of what God wants for this church and get involved and serve. Because if we do not, there will be a perishing effect in our lives. It's not having clear understanding of what God wants from us that's so detrimental. So detrimental. There's great joy and fulfillment, great contentment when we know where to worship. There's great joy and great contentment when you know who you're supposed to marry. There's just great joy and great contentment in knowing God's plan. And that's my second question. Do you know God's plan for your life? Have you asked God? We're getting ready to kick off a new school year. Have you asked God to lead you and guide you through your new school year? Have you asked God to help you when times of temptation come? And they're coming. Not just for young adults and those in school, but grown-ups, adults, senior citizens. The time of temptation is here and coming, and it's only going to grow. Have you asked God to help you with temptation? Have you asked God to help you with direction? And asked God to help you with your mouth and the things that you say? Have you asked God's plan concerning those things? How do you know God's plan for your life? How do you know? Well, number one, again, I reemphasize, there must be salvation first. You must come to Him and accept Him as your personal Lord and Savior. You'll never know God's plan ultimately until you make that number one decision, and that is trusting Him as your personal Savior. And then He begins to reveal to you His will for your life. Because the first part of that will is to get saved, and then the second part of that will is to serve. Psalm 37, verse number 4. I love this verse. It says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." He says, delight. How do I know? You say, "Brother Justin, I'm saved, but how do I know what God wants for me? How do I know what God wants me to do in life? And what He wants me to do this new school year? And what should I do? What should I do?" Delight yourself in Him. The word delight there means to make pliable. It means to be pliable. It also means to find satisfaction in. It means content thyself. Delight thyself. Content thyself. Make yourself pliable in His hand. You know, I've never seen a potter in action. But I've heard that the clay has to, in order to be shaped, it has to be softened. And I've seen videos and things like that. And, you know, there will be the wheel and get a big old a piece of clay and just put it on that wheel. And it's hard as a rock at first. So he has to begin to mash on it. And add some water to it and mash on it again. Because you see, the way it is when he first got it was too hard. It needed to be softened. And so the potter begins to mash and add water and mash again and get it into the shape where it starts to take form and what it wants it to be. That's God tonight in our life. We get saved, and I mean, listen, we all have different backgrounds we come out of, and then when we get saved, He puts us on His will, and He begins to mash on us. Mash and mash, and what He's doing is He's molding us, And when we start to take form, he delights in that. And then he moves to the next stage. My prayer is, when I pray, I say, Lord, I know I'm not what I'm supposed to be. It's not what I'm going to be. I'm not what I used to be. But Lord, I pray that some kind of form of Jesus is taking place in my life. And so the potter, he begins to mash and work. And Job even says that the Lord softeneth his heart. And so God begins to work in our lives and things happen. And God willing, things start to take form and shape. And we get excited about that when God shows us something from his word or he leads us in a new direction and we find fulfillment. Again, Psalm 37, verse 4, the word delight means to be pliable. And so if we just lay ourselves out on the potter's wheel tonight and say, Lord, I delight myself in you. I can't delight myself in this world. I can't delight myself in money or people or circumstances. But Lord, I delight myself in you. I lay myself out on your will. And whatever you want to do with my life, I am here. And the Bible teaches that whenever we do that, God will begin to birth desires in us. And God will begin to direct us in different pathways in life. And we see that in Scripture, it starts with surrender. Surrender to salvation, but then surrender to serve Him. Do you know what God's plan is for your life tonight? Let me mention a third thing. Not only know God's plan, not only know who you are, just some things tonight that we need to know, but then number three, this is kind of a different approach, but very true, and something I've been learning in my life. Know hard work. Know hard work. Someone once said, find out what you're good at. And dump your whole life into it. And I can say myself that I agree with that. Find out what the Lord wants you to do. And dump your whole life into it. Invest every ounce of energy you have into it. Find out what you're good at and dump your whole life into it. Within the confines and the bounds of Scripture, ask God what He wants you to do, and then do it. Do it. Farmer looks out and he sees a hard field. He has his bag of seed, and there's the dirt. He has to rely upon the rain, and so everything is really in place to have crops come up. Now the only thing left to do is prepare the ground and diligently work at it to have those crops. Turn to Ecclesiastes 11 for just a moment. Ecclesiastes 11. Talking about knowing hard work. As the farmer knows there's hard work involved in order to get that crop, he knows what he has to do. We ought to be people who no hard work. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. I want you to notice something in verse number 4. Because he begins to talk about hard work. But as he's talking about, the writer talking about hard work, he is trying to move our perception off of things and just trust in the Lord. Ecclesiastes 11 in verse number 4. Ecclesiastes 11, 4, he says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow. And he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. Listen to this. Even so, thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning, sow thy seed. In the evening, withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whither shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. What is he talking about? He's talking about someone who goes to do something and the circumstances aren't the best. And he's trying to reach out and admonish this person to don't focus on the circumstances, just go and work hard. So in verse number 4, he says, he that observes the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. So the person who makes excuses, listen to me tonight, the person who makes excuses will not grow in their Christian life. Well, I would go to church today, but I would read my Bible verses today, but I would go tell my neighbor about Jesus, but... So he mentions these things. Then in verse number 9, he gives an illustration. He says, as thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that's with child. He says, can you explain everything about the birth of a baby and the forming of a baby and the birth? Can you explain all of that? Well, the answer is no, we can't. We just know that God did something great every time there's a baby conceived and born. We can't explain all that takes place in the womb. And we can't explain the way of the Spirit and what he's up to in every little thing. But he says, even so, thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. Tonight, it may not be the best set of circumstances in a particular day that you face, but work hard anyway, because you do not know what God's doing in that situation. And I found out in life, since I've been saved, that serving God, there's always some kind of cost involved. There's always something involved. It's not going to be easy serving the Lord. It's not always a pleasant set of circumstances. It's the best life there is. But if we ask yourself this question, if you only went to work when you felt like it, how many days of work would you go? If you only went to, well, I was going to say go to school when you felt like it, but if we only did what was right when we felt like it, what kind of return would we get? We wouldn't get no kind of return. But if our approach is this, not waking up in the morning and we're looking, oh, it's going to rain, I'm not going to do anything today, or and spiritually I'm speaking in terms as well, I'm not going to leave the house, I'm not going to, be involved and communicate with no one today, or I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that because of what it looks like. But if we go anyway, even when you don't feel like it, you just don't know what God's doing. Someone here tonight needs to hear this, that you may not feel like going on, but I urge you to go on, because God is up to something good. We don't know how a baby comes together in the womb. All we do, we see a baby. And Jesus is at work tonight in your life and mine. I can't explain everything in my life. All I can do is get up each day and put my whole heart into it and leave everything up to him, results and all. Talking about knowing hard work. Knowing hard work. Don't focus on the elements. Focus on his grace. Don't focus on people. Focus on Christ. And when we do those things, the Bible says that we will be a blessed people. No hard work. 1 Corinthians 15:58. I'll just give it to you. Paul says, be ye steadfast. Here's this challenging word. Unmovable. What does it take to move you from your steadfastness in Christ? Be ye steadfast, unmovable. Always abounding, always excelling, always surpassing the normal. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. How many times do we have immediate results of serving God? Not often. Every once in a while you'll have an immediate result. Every once in a while you'll tell somebody about Jesus and they get saved right there on the spot. Every once in a while. Every once in a while ministry will work without any kind of setbacks or interruptions. Every once in a while. And so Paul urges, he says to, no matter what happens, he says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's not in vain what we do. We do something for God and we don't see no immediate result. It's not in vain. It's not in vain. We leave the results up to Him and continue to serve Him from a heart of love because He died for us on the cross. And so tonight, just some things about what we need to know. No hard work. No God's plan. Know who you are. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you for who you are, for the things that you do. God, my prayer is something was said that might be a help to your people. That's our desire, is to be a help to God's people. And Lord, if there's someone here tonight that feels like their life is just one big struggle, Lord, let them examine themselves, as Brother Don preached about and the Word of God says, to make sure they're saved. But then if they are, Lord, those who are struggling tonight that are saved, help them see, Lord, through the fog. Help them see, Lord, through the thickness of life's wilderness, Lord, how things get thick and dark, even being a Christian. Help us all, Lord, just trust the unseen hand in a cruel, cruel world. We know you love us. Help us remind ourselves of that. Show us the way, Lord, during this time of invitation, and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. If you need to come and pray, you can come and pray.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender all to Him.
Anybody tonight? Do you know who you are? Do you know God's plan? Do you know hard work?
In His presence daily, I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender.
Hold one second, Jim. There's I do want to pray for our children, our kids, that's going back to school. And I tell you what we'll do. We'll just go ahead and have that prayer right now, and then we'll conclude service. Father, we love you tonight. And Lord, we are totally aware of this new school year. God, our young people are getting ready and to launch out into the deep. Father, we pray that you'll protect them, each and every one that's here tonight. Lord, protect them. Lord, help them to know a good routine each night and to do their homework, to get to bed on time. Lord, those simple things. Because those simple things carry over to more difficult things. I pray for strength and I pray for grace for our young people. And I pray, Lord, in the hour of temptation, no matter what it may be, Lord, that they will say no to the devil and yes to Jesus. Help them, Lord, to run their Christian flag up. Even going to a Christian school doesn't mean everybody's Christian. And so I pray, Lord, that you'll give them a boldness and yet love and mercy and grace for this coming year. Direct their steps, their pathways. Be with the parents, Lord. Be with our house parents at the children's home. Give them grace and strength and the know-how each and every day, Lord. Be with our teachers as well. They need strength. They need endurance. Father, we just pray that we can start this year great and we can end this year great. Another great year of school. We love you. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, we're definitely remembering everybody in prayer, all of our young people, parents, and teachers. Anything else to mention tonight before we... Okay. That's you, ma'am. No. Yes. Ha ha ha!